Okay, let's go on. So we wanted to join the monitor host to Foreman, join a client. We're just going to do this for one host, but this is basically what you do for any hosts. And this is, you'll see in the templates we're going to use for the next 2 weeks, that this is what I've included as part of the startup sequence. When you launch a Linux host, then you run these commands to join to Foreman. And they should have this line so that they can resolve their own name. I'm not really sure if it's needed, but it's, as I said, make sure DNS works. Just checking. Yeah, I can ping manager. Okay, then we can go on, download and run these commands. I'm installing Puppet. See, I got this Perl locale errors because I didn't run this, these two commands I did on the manager host. Starting the, let's see. So this installed Puppet. Yeah, oh, sorry. Yeah, what I was going to do, what I did manually now, of course I had that here. Stupid me. Just to see that this command, yeah. So now I had, now I will have two entries. You see? Yeah. I had this here. So I didn't have to edit it manually. I underestimated myself. So we had this here. We didn't do this. So the all we have to do on clients are to make sure that the Puppet configuration file has a line that says server equals manager.borg.trek. And as I'm sure you have known and hated by now, you have one line in puppet.conf currently, which shouldn't be there and which is annoying. So let's just do this the ugly way by replacing this line with the server line. That's why I'm saying that this is sort of a, this is a little bit of a hack. So let's just, sorry, let's run these commands. Just replace the line containing template there with the line we want. And then we run Puppet for the first time. And we start the Puppet agent, so it runs every half hour. If I now go to Foreman, infrastructure, smart proxies, certificates, you'll see that, monitor.borg.trek. Yes, I know that's under my control. It was supposed to appear there, so let me sign that. And if I now go hosts, all hosts, Borg monitor is not there, even if I reload. But if I now either I wait for like half an hour, or I run Puppet once on monitor, so I don't have to do this manually. Now everything is automatic. I just don't want to wait for half an hour. So that's why I run it. So it has its first real communication between the Puppet agent and the Puppet master, because then it will appear in the host list. And then this, you have the exact commands for doing this on Windows as well. So that also gets joined to Foreman. So while this is running, let me show you that. So here, I hit F5 to refresh. Here, you see that there's nothing in DNS here. Okay, Here is what I updated also in the manual, especially this text here. So check following informant: infrastructure, domains, borg.trek, domain. By that I mean check infrastructure, domains, borg.trek, domain, DNS proxy, none. Aha. Yeah, I have to say I'm using the DNS proxy here, because manager is the DNS proxy which will talk dynamic DNS to the DNS server. So now we have configured that, and the same thing for infrastructure. This will take care of updating A records. If I want to update, so in my infrastructure, so this was this here, infrastructure, domains, borg.trek, should say here, subnets, I haven't defined the subnet, so I have to manually say this, that this is the 192.168. I should have probably stated this on the command line when I installed Forman. I don't remember exactly what I did there, so we don't need that now, by the way. I will get back to that. So this ran successfully now, so I can go to all hosts, and you see that monitor are now here. And what I mean is that now I have to do the following. I have to edit monitor. Here is the button, manage host. Now, if I now change the name should be updated in DNS. The annoying thing is that this host does not exist in DNS, and to have it exist in DNS, I have to give it another name, and then I can rename it back. And this is what will be fixed in the next version of Forman. In the next version of Forman, this is what is in the mail dialog or that I showed you on Google, that in Forman 1.10, there will be a button here that says rebuild config. So I can just say manage host, rebuild config. So now we have to do a little bit of a hack. Let me just say monitor 1, submit. Execution expired. See, monitor. Maybe I talked for too long for something. Monitor 1. Submit. Yes, unable to delete. That's true because it didn't exist. Did the host get updated? No. Let's see. If I go to interfaces, like this. Now it seems to work. Running, updating, and it gives me an error for not having it from before. But if we now view... No, it's not showing up. Why not? Ah, I'll figure this out and post it. Let me just try to see if I can rename it back. And then no, it doesn't show up. I'll figure out why. But now it's, yeah, it's supposed to work, but there's probably, ah, I know, and you know, because I told you, what kind of error did we get that we didn't solve? What failed because we hadn't installed Foreman? Do you remember? If I view my log now, I'm going to see that there's a permission denied if I had verbose logging. Because when I tried you see, own by root and read-write only by root and but the smart proxy is running, it's not running as Foreman plus, the smart proxy is running as Foreman dash proxy user. Because when I tried to do this, that failed. Because it doesn't exist before Foreman exists. Now the Foreman proxy user has the right to access the keytab file. That means oops. If I now edit the host, try to say it's monitor 1, submit. Let's see if this works or if I have to actually... Hey, see? It works. A little bit proud right now. So, but you see the annoying thing? I have to give it another name and then I rename it back. But the cool thing is, now you can control everything from Foreman. And in the next version of Foreman, you can just make the host manage, hit rebuild config, and it will register in DNS. And that's also something that can be automated in later releases. Okay, so you see the client automatically will join Foreman. You will see that in the next heat templates that you use, that they join Foreman. What you have to do is just go to infrastructure, smart proxies, certificates, and then sign the key and wait for Puppet to run, and it runs every half hour. Then you can just monitor here what's going on. So, yeah. Let's move quickly on to the main idea. So now we have this here working. What we're going to use Foreman for, it says install modules on manager. So the stuff here on Windows, you can do yourself. Let's see, we need Puppet module. So we're going to install NTP. We're going to install SAS time zone. So notice that you only need to install modules on the manager. And we're installing Puppet Labs desired state configuration. This is really cool because they have made a module which maps Puppet resources to Windows PowerShell desired state configuration resources. And that's one of the points of this lab, is to demonstrate how you then can use these. So just the last one. Chocolaté is in a few months or a year will probably not be necessary since it will be integrated into Windows. But this is part of the packet management system that's coming on Windows. So you see that we are ending up with quite a large number of modules already. And then I'm saying that you should create a module called profile. That's not a random name. Puppet module generate my profile. Okay, yes, this is all very nice. And I copy this profile to Puppet environments production modules profile like this, and then I in this file manifests I need to create let's see, creating a new Puppet module with the classes. So let's just create profile base Linux like this. So I have base linux.pp. And this, okay, in the updated version of the exercise, I also sort of by accident, but by good accident, I included this entire class, everything you need. So this is the, let's see. This is the entire configuration that all should be as the sort of default or base on all Linux hosts. So this should look familiar to you now, that the NTP, I've added some options so to make sure that our NTP is safe. NTP is a very widely used attack vector. You can do many interesting attacks with NTP. So we have to be careful when we configure NTP. The other things here you should recognize. Okay, but if this is not enough, you're supposed to use Hiera as well. Notice here that I have two variables in this class. And they are both retrieved from a Hiera lookup. So this is how you use Hiera. But I haven't set up Hiera yet. So let me just save this. And then that was in the exercise here as well, that we should. So here is what you need to do to get Hiera to work. So we need to create the directory here. And then we create this file. This is the configuration file for Hiera. And this should have this exact contents. By the way, how many of you have watched the video on Hiera? Some of you. Good. Remember to watch the lectures that I've linked to in the front room. They are really good. And then we create this file. Where we put the actual data. And for now, I just do like this. I'm not going to set up SSH key now. Let's just leave it like this. I think it will, it might work anyway. And then if this is working, Hiera, I said here that somewhere I said that you can test if Hiera is working. Where have I said that? Yeah, that's in next week's, the coming exercise. That you can, it's at the end of this week's exercise, that we can check that Hiera is working by doing something like this. Yeah. So on the command line, you can say Hiera, the name of the key, specify the environment, and the configuration file. Because if you don't specify that, Hiera will look for the configuration file etc/hiera.yaml. But we have it in etc/puppet/hiera.yaml, so we have to specify it. So you see that this value here, this was retrieved from this file here. So Hiera is just placing all your variables in a file. It's a very, very simple lookup system, just based on YAML syntax. Put your variables in a file, and then you can look them up in Puppet, so you don't have to hard code passwords into your Puppet manifests. Okay, so now I have put some code into here. Let's see if what we do now is not this. We go to Foreman, configure environments. And I can go to Puppet classes, import from manager borg.trek. And if we are lucky, then all our classes will now appear. Very important, if you do this, it says yes, update. If you do changes to your Puppet code and you go to Foreman and you try to import the changes and it says no changes detected. But you know you have changes, but it always says no changes detected. That's because your Puppet code doesn't validate. Go and check that your code validates. If you have an error in your code, Foreman will not say anything about that. It will just say no changes detected. Yes, so now I have imported all my Puppet modules. Let's see if you see it's fine. Profile and profile based Linux. So what's the point of Foreman? Foreman can do many things. Foreman can be a fully automatic installer. It's a really nice system to deploy and manage all your hosts from scratch, bare metal servers. We are using Foreman to install all new servers in Sky-High. So all 15 servers in Sky-High have been automatically installed from scratch using Foreman. We're not using Foreman in that way. We're not skipping the first step. We're creating servers with heat and then just using them, just using Foreman after we have initiated them with Puppet. So we use Foreman for two purposes. One is CMDB, Configuration Management Database, an overview of everything. The other, most important, we are using Foreman as our Puppet ENC. External node classifier. So the thing is, when you have all our Puppet code, we're now going to structure our code and assign it to groups of servers. Because if we have 1,000 servers, you want to have a good system of giving servers different configuration, different roles composed together in a nice way. So we're using Foreman to give configuration to hosts. And this is the real key here. So pay close attention now. So when I have a new host, I sign the key, I wait for it to appear, or I run it manually if I don't want to wait. Then I edit the host, I go to Puppet classes, I choose a class, base Linux, I hit plus, and I submit. Then I can wait for half an hour, but that's boring. So I go to just to demo now. I do not wait half an hour or up to half an hour. I go to the host and run Puppet Agent. And the monitor host should now receive the configuration that I created in the base Linux profile class. Yeah, and then it will receive a copy of everything. You see now it's it will have a copy of everything that was in the all the new modules that it hasn't seen before. That's why you're seeing it's doing all this DSC stuff, even though it's not using any configuration from that module. But this is the key feature of this week's lab, that you get Foreman running, you get the host to join Foreman, and then you assign configuration, you assign Puppet configuration to the host in Foreman. Now we can go here and let's see. And now you know that Puppet will now run every half hour. It will run every half hour on our hosts. And we can just watch Foreman to see that everything is working okay. So you know ITIL. How is Foreman a CMDB? Well, you can go here, monitor.borg.trek. You can view facts. Here you can view 120 parameters about about this host. So we can say, yeah, I don't know how to retrieve this, but or I don't remember exactly how you can. But you can very easily find, show me all servers that have more than 2 gigabytes of memory. You know, you have all the facts of all your hosts are now in the Foreman database. And you can, of course, create this dashboard any way you want. Let's see how, yeah, Puppet is still running. A lot of configuration on the first run. Okay, so yes, and I'm not going to do this on Windows. You can do that yourself. You have the exact configuration here, But then you create the base Windows profile and apply that to the Windows host. But notice, so as I said, basically I've given you a recipe for everything, but make sure you understand what's going on here. The Windows configuration, I've not created that by accident. Notice that I'm also using a Hiera lookup, and in the future you should be able to use PowerShell native packet management, because that's present on Windows 10, but it's not very mature yet. So until now we should still use Chocolaté for installing packages. And Chocolaté, since October last year, packages entering those repositories are moderated, so we can trust them a little bit. But whenever you automatically install software from the network, you know, you really have to know where is your trust. And it used to be that anyone could upload software to Chocolaté and just anyone would install it. And that's no good for security. But now there are a moderator, or there are moderators that approve software in the same, if you know, the people approve software that's entering the Apple store, etc., and these things. But the Puppet Labs Chocolaté module doesn't support installing Chocolaté itself, which is quite strange. So that's why I'm saying that it, but I know that it will do that in a few months. I saw that on the release, or on the to-do list, that it will have this way of installing itself. So that's why I'm saying that we're doing an ugly hack while waiting for Puppet to install this itself. So here you will see an example of an exec installing Chocolaté, and it does this not every time. I've made it idempotent by adding this test. So install this unless this test pass. Then I'm demonstrating for you that if I'm now going to install packages, I don't, every time I say package on Windows, I don't want to have to specify that the provider is Chocolaté. I want that to be a default. And in Puppet, you can set default on resources. So here you see I'm saying, if the operating system is Windows, package, notice, uppercase P, provider Chocolaté, and require that this has been performed. So that means whenever I say package ensure latest, this is also included. This is set by default. So you don't have to specify this every time. So I'm trying, as we go along, I'm trying to demonstrate different features of the Puppet language for you. And then, so you have now run a PowerShell desired state configuration script on Windows, and you saw that there are resources that are defined in that script in the same way as as in Puppet. So I'm talking about this here, that if I want to create a user, no, this is PowerShell desired state configuration resource. You see, it says X AD user, first user, and then I specify the parameters. I say ensure present. And instead of saying in Puppet, you would say require. In PowerShell, you say depends on. You see how it's similar? So the Puppet DSC module is just a mapping. It's really nice. You can use these PowerShell desired state configuration resources exactly as they are, but you can just use Puppet syntax and prepend with DSC underscore. So you see in Puppet, if you want to do something in Puppet, so I demonstrated how you can set the time zone using PowerShell desired state configuration, but through Puppet. See here that all I'm doing is I say, yeah, this is just something that has to be included, so don't this, yeah. This is the one. You see, X time zone. This is the name of the PowerShell desired state configuration resource. And as long as I have the Puppet module, I just have to prepend it with dsc underscore. And I prepend all the parameters with dsc underscore. And then when this is run on Windows, this will just map to the PowerShell desired state configuration resource and run that. I think this is really nice. Okay, so you see now that Puppet received its configuration. It runs successfully and did everything that I asked it to do through Foreman. And we can see in Foreman, if I go to all hosts now, you'll see that this run in less than a minute ago. And then there were no changes. I can go and view the history, because this isn't right, because I just run Puppet there and there were a whole bunch of changes. You saw them, didn't you? So let's view reports. Aha! So our run of Puppet was 9 minutes ago. You see, when we run, what you just saw here, all the output you see, this was our run. And this was the one 9 minutes ago. But 1 minute ago, the Puppet daemon kicked in, because it was almost half an hour since the last time it had run. So Puppet has run once more after us. And Puppet is idempotent, meaning everything went fine when we ran it. So when the Puppet agent ran again, according to its schedule, everything was okay. So everything just stays okay. So that's why you see that things happened 9 minutes ago. Nothing happened a minute ago. And I can view my host. And it says here that no changes during the last run. Yeah. Okay. This week. So, I have 8 minutes. So I have to speak extremely fast. So this is our situation. We still have quite a bit of space left. Out of our 128 CPUs in Sky High, we have allocated 212. That's not a problem. By default, I can over-provision, I can over-allocate 16 times. So I have 128 CPUs. I can give away 16 times that. CPU is not a problem. Memory is the issue. And we have 598 gigabytes of memory in Sky High. Currently, we have allocated 420, but we are allowed to over-allocate by a factor 2. So we're still using only, this says with respect to real memory, but we can start virtual machines up to 1,200 gigabytes of memory. And I think we should be fine. But there is not enough memory in Sky High for each and every one of you to launch both the next two heat templates that we're going to use. But I think we can so start joining together two and two, if you will. But if you don't want to, you can go on each and every one by yourself this week also. Because what you should do this week is now download this template. This will launch 3 Ubuntu machines and 1 Windows server. And remember, don't try to access the Windows server before at least an hour. Yeah, and this might take some time, of course. And remember that you can always log into the web GUI and view your network topology. What you're going to do now is the following. So we now wrote Puppet code directly on our manager. And this became, if we now change the Linux base profile module, I can go and change that directly. And that will, within half an hour, that code will be applied to my monitor host. Is that how we work in production? No, we don't. Firstly, you don't edit any code directly. Things that are in production just have to work. So we want to separate our hosts into a testing environment and a production environment. And I want version control. This is configuration changes made to servers. We want version control, and we want to work as a team. That means we now have to do sort of the DevOps setup. System administrators today are developers. So we just have to adopt state-of-the-art development process, and that basically looks something like this. So you're going to now start using Git on your laptop, have your code in repositories, and use Git. You're going to have four modules. You need a module called profile, a module called role. And the way this works is that a role is just a collection of profiles. So all Puppet tasks that you need to do, you create as a profile, and then you create collection of profiles as roles, and you give each server one and only one role in Foreman. So when you go and assign classes in Foreman, don't assign a bunch of classes to your hosts. Group them into profiles, group the profiles into roles, and assign one role to each server. And of course, many of your servers, if you have 1,000, then maybe 500 of your servers have the same role. And then you should write code, commit with Git, and then push it to a repository, and use this wonderful system called R10K, which pulls this from Git repositories and deploys it on the manager, and all the hosts will within half an hour pick up the changes. And then you have certain hosts assigned to a testing environment, and they will pick up and run any changes you do in the testing environment, so you always do that before you move into production. But this is all repetition for you, of course, because you all know this, because you have read all these documents and you have watched both these videos, right? No, I know that all of you haven't done that, but you should do that. This is what I told you now. This is all explained in very nice blog posts here. These four posts explains best practice usage of Puppet in a professional manner with production environments. And Gary Larissa, who's writing these blog posts, he is also the one giving this lecture here, and he's really funny to listen to. So please watch these videos, read the blog posts, so you understand this workflow. And I don't think we will able to land everything this week, but that doesn't matter. The next 2 weeks, the Elk Stack and Ezynga will be, we can probably push them 1 week away and do them the same week. Because this week, this is the big thing, and we will not move on before you have this set up. If you haven't used Git before, that will be also quite a bit of work to start going with Git. But this is all in the exercise. You can use whatever Git repository you want. So the video will end now, but after the video ends, I will just read through the rest of this exercise. So the if you leave all your code public, then you can use GitHub and things are quite easy. But you also want your Hiera data, your private data containing your site-specific passwords and everything. You want that under version control as well.